moving on, I see we've got a workshop next, and we've got a few information items. Ms. Bernard, how long is the workshop?
I think staff's presentation will be about 15
minutes. Mm-hmm. Just wondering, do we want a break or not?
We're ahead of schedule, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, board will take a... Board will come back at half past, so that's about 7 minutes, Mr. Massey.
We waste no time.
I wouldn't say waste.
Well, good morning, Board. My name is Mark Neely. I'm the senior in charge of the 401 non-point source unit in our non-point source timber harvest division here at the regional board, and I'm here to introduce this item, the milk cow dairy workshop, region-wide regulation through permits and conditional waiver. And I'm accompanied today by a couple of our stellar staff, Sherry Blatt and Lisa Bernard, and they can introduce themselves when their time comes. Let's see if I can master this thing. Top?
Bottom button.
Bottom button.
The big one. Here, point it at the screen.
Big one. Okay. So the outline of the workshop today, we're going to very briefly discuss the dairy regulations that are the framework under which we are developing this program. The North Coast Dairy Program and the components thereof. Talk a bit about our pretty extensive public participation efforts that are continuing today with this workshop. And then the next steps, where we go from here in the schedule, and then open it up for questions and public comments. And now I'm going to hand it over to Lisa. Yes.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Bernard. I work for the Regional Water Board in the permitting unit. And this morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the backdrop of the regulations. Am I not turned on?
Just closer.
Okay. Okay. And the backdrop of the regulations that we're using for the development of the dairy program. The Regional Water Board has been delegated the responsibility for implementation of the Clean Water Act in the state of California. And the most recent federal regulations for confined animal feeding operations were finalized in October of 2008. We also have the California Code of Regulations, Title 27, which prescribes the statewide minimum standards for discharges of animal waste at confined animal feeding facilities, and requires Title 27 requires that these standards be either implemented in waste discharge requirements or conditional waivers. The California Water Code, which delegates the responsibility to the state and regional water boards for the protection of water quality, and it provides us with the framework for development of waste discharge requirements and waivers. The Basin Plan, which is specific to our region, is intended to provide orderly and coordinated control for the protection and conservation and development and use of water resources. And finally, we have our non-point source policy, which requires us to regulate non-point source discharges through some combination of regulatory tools, including waste discharge requirements, conditional waivers. All right. So we have an estimated 150 dairies in the region, with the bulk of those located in Humboldt and Sonoma counties. However, region-wide, dairies are important to us, and as they provide our agricultural landscape and are a significant part of the agricultural economy. Regional Water Board regulates one dairy at this time under individual waste discharge requirements, and six others under stormwater industrial permits. The balance of dairy operations in the North Coast have been self-regulating to varying degrees, and all other regional water boards in the state have active dairy programs. So In order to comply with state and federal requirements, Regional Water Board staff here have been working to develop a dairy program in the North Coast region. The program is going to consist, as we've told you before, of a three-tiered conditional or three-tiered options. So the first tier would be the federal MPDS permit for facilities that discharge or propose to discharge to surface waters under very limiting conditions. The general waste discharge requirements or the state permit, and the state conditional waiver for those facilities that can certify no discharge to surface water and meet the conditions of those permits. Once adopted by this board, each dairy operation will be expected to self-select the permitting tier that best fits their individual operation. So, the overriding intent of the program is to minimize pollutant discharges to surface water and groundwater through the active management of manure and other waste streams. Each facility will need to develop a site-specific nutrient management plan, conduct monitoring to verify the implementation and effectiveness of the nutrient management plan, and report the results to the Regional Water Board. And now I'm going to turn it over to Sherry to talk about our public participation.
Thank you, Lisa. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Sherry Blatt. I'm the Water Resource Control Engineer in the Non-Point Source Timber Division. I'll be presenting the public participation that we've had over the past year, first talking about the stakeholder involvement, then our outreach. Next is the training that we've had and attended, and then coordination with other agencies. And last will be the public meetings that we've held. So first are the stakeholders. Are our agricultural community, the 150 dairy operators that we have, the Western United Dairymen and the Farm Bureau and others, the environmental groups. We have a broad list in the North Coast. A few that have expressed interest so far are Riverkeeper and the Laguna Foundation. Government agencies, there are many that are involved, including the Environmental Protection Agency, Region 9 in San Francisco. They've been especially helpful in development of our dairy program. We're working closely with the Natural Resource Conservation Service and the Resource Conservation Districts. We're developing more stakeholder involvement as we reach out to rural areas such as the Mendocino Coast, Del Norte, and Siskiyou counties, where we have a smaller number of dairies. The public is involved by our broad mailing list and is invited to our public meetings. A specific list of dairy program stakeholder outreach is included in your board packets in item 11. We will post that list on our website. This list describes our meetings held and attended to explain the dairy program and collect comments from the public. When we attend meetings and trainings, we take the opportunity to announce our dairy program and upcoming events. One example is the monthly Animal Resource Committee meetings hosted by the Sonoma County Farm Bureau. Another form of outreach is our office website link to the dairy program. Also on this website, we have a LIRIS sign-up email list so that interested parties can receive new information. There are currently 35 members on our LIRIS list, and we encourage folks to sign up. In addition, there are about 700 addresses on our office's broad mailing list in the dairy program, and information has been sent to this broad mailing list in July and December. Last month, we began to develop a specific dairy mailing list with our 150 dairies. We do not have a good dairy mailing list yet. A blank form was sent to all past and present dairies with an explanation of the upcoming dairy program. These information forms are in the process of being updated by the dairy operators, returned to us so that we may update our mailing list. Our goal is to increase stakeholder involvement for input into the draft permits. Next is training. There's much to learn about the dairy operation and the connection to water quality. We've attended two ranch water quality workshops in Petaluma and Eureka, both hosted by the UC Davis Cooperative Extension. Nutrient management with consideration for local soils, weather, and erosion control were presented by state and local experts. We participated in the pasture management planning workshop at the Animal Resource Committee meeting in Two Rock last April. Most interesting was touring 14 of our dairies in our region in the Marin, Sonoma, and Humboldt counties. It's fascinating to visit these proud family dairies and learn both about organic and conventional dairies. One of the dairies that we toured was Dennis Leonardi, our board member from 2005. He has an organic dairy in Humboldt County. And this is the coordination that we've been coordinating with many agencies and stakeholders, and we'll continue to meet with them regularly. We're coordinating with the Western United Dairymen and the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program for training, draft permit review, and future funding of nutrient management plans and best management practices. The Natural Resource Conservation Service and the Resource Conservation Districts have been instrumental in their technical abilities and ties to the dairy industry. We appreciate their support for water quality improvement and project funding. The UC Davis Extension has helped us develop a stakeholder plan and has provided technical expertise with respect to their research. The Environmental Protection Agency has helped us to understand the federal K4 rules, the confined animal facility regulations, and along with Tetra Tech, consultants have supported us in this dairy program. The State Water Resources Control Board, Region 2, and Region 5 staff have given us guidance and are helping us have a consistent permit as these regions border ours to the south and to the east. We've had initial contact with the Department of Fish and Game and the Department of Water Rights, and we look forward to coordinating in the protection of water quality. We welcome their review of our future draft permits. And this is the slide of our public meetings. We've had two workshops, one in Santa Rosa and one in Eureka in July. And 2 weeks ago, we had one here in this room for the CEQA scoping meeting. The feedback is important to report on. The dairy operators were most concerned about the cost of the fees and the improvements that they would need to make to their dairy to confine to meet these this new dairy program regulations. They're concerned about the time and the paperwork and the monitoring involved in meeting the new regulations. The dairy operators were concerned about privacy. There were a few comments about regulation of other animal facilities. Some people were concerned about horse corrals, for instance. It was clear from the public meeting that there's a broad agreement and a common interest to maintain open space and retain dairies in the agricultural landscape. So that includes my portion of the public participation and outreach. Mark will discuss upcoming plans for the dairy program.
Thanks, Sherry. I quickly want to mention a lot of the groups and agencies that Sherry mentioned have people in the audience here today, and hopefully you can have, if you have questions for them, feel free to do that. So the next steps, we are in the middle of the CEQA scoping time frame. It closes February 11th, which is, I believe, is a couple weeks from now. At that point, we take all the comments, we finish drafting the permits, the components of the permit, and the CEQA initial study. And those are released for a 45-day public review and comment period. Those are sent out by the State Clearinghouse to all the usual suspects statewide. And as Sherry said, we have an extensive mailing list, and they will all be included as well. And again, the components are the general WDR, the conditional waiver, and then the CEQA initial study, which covers those two components, and then the NPDES. We will be coming back to you for another update in spring 2011. At one of the regularly scheduled board meetings. And following that 45-day comment period, we will take the comments, respond to them, revise the permit as necessary, and come back to you hopefully in summer to present this package of regulation to you. Soon after, we're going to start a very aggressive on-site assessment program. Sherry mentioned Tetra Tech and some of the money we're getting from US EPA. They're actually helping us by getting some experienced NPDES dairy inspectors to help us with these assessments. And that's a good opportunity for us to go out and see perhaps which dairies fit under which one of these components. It's a self-certification program, so it's up to the individual dairy to determine which one they're in. But this is a way for us to determine if that is indeed a, or what particular box they should probably fall into. Well, this isn't very helpful, but you know where to find us, can I say that?
Public participation program.
We have that information. We'll get that.
it's all on our program dairy website.
We can run when we can't hide, so you can find us. If you want to. And now we're opening it up to questions from the board. And like I say, a number of people I'm sure want to make public comment as well. So thank you for your time.
Great. Thanks, all. Board member questions, comments?
I just had one. I'm going to get on your mailing list, and we'll be participating without board authority just as a citizen because it's a matter of interest to myself. So just a heads up.
Sure.
Where do you think you're going on the substance of the regulations, or have you formulated it that far? I mean, are they going to involve substantial capital improvements?
Well, we recognize the always precarious nature of the dairy economy, and we want to, within the, in order to regulate water quality and protect water quality, we obviously have to require some cost. We're trying to keep the costs down. Probably the major cost is going to be the development of the nutrient management plans. We understand about a quarter of the dairies in our region already have these, which is a good thing. But that is a one expense. So all I can say is we're going to strive to try and keep the costs reasonable for the for what we need and to support our program.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Norton.
You guys have been busy, and I think that's great. I think your outreach is great. I would ask you to keep going on that. I want to acknowledge the work that you've done. Thank you very much. I also want to acknowledge the participants, NRCS, Western United Dairymen, Farm Bureaus, UC Extension, EPA. I probably left some out here, and I apologize if I did. But I like the fact that actually I see in here that you've been just in your schedule, which I'm impressed by how much is on here. It's like 3 or 4 pages. But it's pretty comprehensive in that you're looking at TMDL. You're looking at a bunch of other things. A couple questions as we go through this. Mark, you were talking about that it's a self-regulating. Basically, they'll sign up and it shakes out from there. But can you elaborate on that a bit? How's that work? You have an enrollment period. They start with the process and then check verify. Can you elaborate?
I don't think we've actually determined the exact time frame that we're going to require each dairy to enroll under the permits once they're adopted. So that's something that we're still discussing internally, and we're trying to figure out what would be a fair time frame, because you know we still have to continue to let people look at things and get used to the program a little bit. So and then we do have the first 10 assessments of dairies that we need to have completed sometime in June. And then another 25 that Tetra Tech is going to help us with after that, that will happen, you know, at varying intervals over the next year. Eventually, we would like to go out, and we will go out to every dairy that has been identified. And so at one point or another, each dairy, you know, whatever tier they decide to enroll in their self-certification at the beginning of the program, we'll be going out to verify that that it's an appropriate enrollment. And hopefully, depending on the amount of work that any facility might do, they could kind of move, you know, from tier to tier, possibly starting in a tier that allows a discharge to surface waters because of their current conditions, and then as they continue to work on their nutrient management plan, moving eventually to the conditional waiver.
And within that, too, you know, we've had comment in the past and request to use some of the existing infrastructure as far as what these guys have done. This is, in my experience, a pretty can-do community. As far as that goes, some of these people have had significant investment, excuse me, into the Dairy Quality Assurance Program or their organic standards. And to the extent that we can, I would like to see that absolutely recognized, used. I think it's really valid. I think it's very good. I think that's pretty well proven. A question, our Southern Dairy Belt basically bleeds over political boundary into Region 2, and I know you've been coordinating with Region 2. Could you expound on that to some extent about how does that meld? Because we're talking about a political boundary and a watershed boundary, but we're really talking about a dairy belt that is very much the same. It's the same in character. It's the same in operation, family type, legacy, and all that. So.
Exactly. I think we even have one dairy that's on both sides.
It's
on
fantastic.
Region 2. Region 1.
Just to prove the point, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So we'll be working closely with Region 2. We've had meetings there at their office. They're here today. They come here to our office, and we have researched their waiver and their GWDR and PDS permit. So we hope to be very closely tied to theirs. They are in the process of drafting their waiver. Their waiver has expired, so they are looking at ours to see, you know, how we have to go differently. John Menke of the Dairy Program and the State Water Resources Control Board is also helping us. We need to meet all the new regulations. If there's something from the old waiver from Region 2 that no longer applies, we will all have, you know, the new, most modern waiver.
Okay. And just the last thing my request would be is to the extent that we can to incentivize this, you know, again, this is a can-do group here that, you know, they're land people, and to the extent that we get what we want, but at the same time get them to, you know, if we can, to move to a spot where they can do it themselves with the least amount of regulation, being programmatic in the approach and using what the infrastructure and tools that we have out there. But I like this. This is good.
Okay.
You know, the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, it's in Central Valley, but it helps, you know, the whole state, the dairy people, and it does trainings. It's a six-hour training. They agreed to come here the next summer and give one in Sonoma County and one in Humboldt County, and it certifies the dairies so that they have better nutrient management planning. It doesn't cost very much. They have some funding. And we hope to have a lot of the dairies that are not already certified get enrolled under that program.
Yeah, and with that, too, you know, I tried to shout out to them and some of the other participants here because, again, I think that kind of thing, I think the stars are pretty much aligned to get this done right now and to move this forward. And I really like this approach. I think it's really good to have collaboration on every front that we can. So to the extent that you can, you know, go forth. I look forward to hearing how you progress with this in the future. So thank you.
I just had a few more questions. One, there are a lot of potential issues. We got the fill the box issue because of the state non-point source guidelines. We have problem issues. And then we have differences presumably between some of the dairy zones. What's the direct, and you've mentioned nutrient management, so I assume that's probably the number one problem you're trying to address. Could you do a little problem definition here, what you see is what needs to be addressed from a water quality standpoint?
You know, we've asked that question in the public forums, and the answers were so varied because they said every dairy is different. Some need fencing to fence the cows out of the creeks. Some of them need new ponds. The pond liner is leaking. Some of them need the gutter system on the roofs to separate the stormwater to be clean water so that the manure ponds don't overtop, so no manure water goes into the ditches, into the surface water. There may be some vernal pools or wetland situations that we have to look at. Riparian vegetation that needs to be planted. It was so varying that I did not get any one single answer.
So, in effect, we're proceeding under the direction of the State Board on the non-point source policy that we need to have a regulatory framework for each and every non-point source. As part of that, we're trying to do a problem assessment and then gauge the regulations off of that rather than we're hunting to solve certain problems. Is that a correct way to say it? I also want to thank you for coordinating with regions 2 and 5, that's exceptionally important. I actually think when you get into dairy zones, we can coordinate some of the dairy zones very closely. I think you get in other dairy zones, I think it's going to get increasingly harder.
That is a real challenge.
That's the other thing is, and I'm sure Heidi knows because she does this stuff, but just in my limited knowledge, I know 3-4 different places, and the problems as far as the potential impact to water quality are so different. Mm-hmm. I think your work's going to be really challenging meeting that. Mm-hmm. But I do want to appreciate the other agents, but the consistency, I think that's a legitimate question the state board will ask and the state legislature ask. And we need to have a very good answer. And I've never been shy about how we're unique on something, but we better have our facts together or otherwise be coordinated. And whenever we can, we want to be coordinated.
Thank you.
Wanted to build a little bit on what Mr. Noren was saying and to some degree what Mr. Corbett was saying. It's, you know, the stakeholder motivation is evident. Clearly by, you know, this nice summary of what you've done for your outreach, the chronology of the stakeholder involvement. So, you know, it's an encouraging momentum that you have, and I appreciate the schedule that you're working forward, and it looks like it's going to happen with that. And, you know, I think a true testament is that, as I've been sort of previewing the speaker cards, we've got representatives here from a wide cross-section. Mm-hmm. So it's encouraging that, I mean, that there shows and demonstrates the commitment that they're actually here today. So I look forward to hearing from them. So. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I do have a few speaker cards, and we'll start off with Dana Ghirardelli. We'll follow up with Stephanie Larson.
Good morning. My name is Dana Ghirardelli. I'm here with Clover Stornetta Farms, but I'm also the daughter of a dairyman in your region. So I have quite a bit at stake. Very interested in this process. Wanted to first commend your staff for all of their outreach. They've been tremendous to work with. And Mr. Noren, I appreciate all of your comments because they ring very true, which this could kind of go in all different directions, and I'll keep it brief, but it kind of takes me back to the Animal Resource Committee that we have locally, Marin and Sonoma County, where there's a cross-section of agencies that come together, the industries, water quality, fish and game, EPA, and all of our resources like Natural Resource Conservation Service, the Resource Conservation Districts, all of which are great resources to the producers themselves, West United Dairymen for the dairy producers. These are all particularly great resources in the Animal Resource Committee, and that monthly meeting really is a great conduit for all of us to come together and continue through the path towards where the Water Quality Board wants to be. I think the collaboration between the regional boards is imperative, as you said, because even though there's a political line, it's still an industry of which we all live and work together. So that's important. But I also want to recognize that the dairymen themselves are great resources because they recognize the importance of water quality as well. So I do agree that this is a can-do community, as you said. And I just hope that you can continue to recognize that it's a proactive group, has been for many years, and they're self-policing. We do our own monitoring, and they look out for each other for the betterment of water quality and the environment. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that they've really been doing this, and they're great experts at it, and I think the collaboration is key. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stephanie Larson, followed by Paul Martin.
Good morning. I just want to thank the board for hearing all this public comment and for your interest in the dairy industry. I'm Stephanie Larson, and I'm with the University of California Cooperative Extension. I'm housed here in Sonoma and Marin counties, and what we do is we work with the dairy industry, bringing information from education and research from UC Davis to the local farms. And I want to reemphasize, and I want to thank you for recognizing the importance of collaboration. The University of California has worked with all the agencies and the dairies for the last 20 years addressing water quality issues and self certifying and having the dairymen themselves address water quality issues. We go out, we look at problems. We had several ranch planning workshops over the years where we looked at what the issues were. And from that, with the collaboration, the dairymen could identify what some of the practices that they were needed. And then the collaboration with the RCDs and the NRCS, we were able to go find funding to implement those practices and address water quality. So it's been a successful program for 20 years. I would really strongly emphasize that you continue to look toward collaboration and the self-regulating and self-direction by the dairymen themselves, because they want to stay in business, and it's important to them that they maintain water quality, but looking at it from an ecological and an economical aspect. So again, the University of California will be happy to work in this area and look forward to working with your regional board and yourself on this issue. So thank you.
Thank you. Paul Martin, followed by Jovita Fajavio.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Paul Martin, Director of Environmental Services, Western United Dairymen. Our office is located 1315 K Street, Modesto, California, but I work out of a home office in Two Rock, right on the banks of Stemple Creek, which is one of your case studies. I want to commend your staff. These folks have worked really hard to try to go out to visit dairies, to talk to dairy producers, to understand what the dairy producers are thinking, to understand the challenges that they face, and to understand the particular and natural apprehensions that producers will have when they are faced with a new regulatory program. We're very different than the dairies you find in Region 5, and so I think your staff has recognized those differences, and we really do appreciate their work. They've put in an awful lot of time and energy. We do support the three-tier approach. We think it's a wise way to go. I expect that most of the dairies will qualify for the conditional waiver. I do not expect very many, if any, to opt for an NPDES permit, but the board does have to have one available. As others have mentioned, we do have a lot of things in place to help our producers with water quality issues here in the county, but the biggest thing that we have is the producers themselves and their demonstrated commitment. You don't see ACLs about dairy violations very often, and I can't remember the last one that we had in this county, because folks are proud of what they're doing and they intend to continue to do a good job. We don't want this program to be a program of the regional board, but rather a program that the regulated community can truly support. And in this case, you know, I would mention that the regulated community, the dairy producers of this area, they're the folks that serve on your school boards. They're the folks that have founded and serve on volunteer fire departments. They're the folks that serve on the board of directors of the conservation districts. We really, truly do have a community within the dairy industry and within the county of Sonoma and the counties north of us. What we're looking for out of this program is something that our folks can support and be proud of and particularly take ownership of. Because if the regulated community takes ownership of the program, then it's going to be a successful program. And that's what we're looking for, and I believe we're on the right track to get that done. If you have any questions, we're available, but thanks for the opportunity to comment.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for coming.
I had one question, if I could.
Of course.
I heard this about a year and a half ago, a rather academic speech, and it was really dealing with that the costs of feed, et cetera, were going up quite rapidly, and I see some commodity pressure. I don't profess to understand it, but in the general market. And the prices were down because of overcapacity, and the conclusion this person was access to the capital markets was temporarily fairly limited. Are we still in that situation, in your opinion?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Starting with the records that the California Department of Food and Ag has provided, in 2008, the average dairy producer in the state of California lost $700 per cow. There was a tremendous loss of equity throughout the industry. In 2009 and 2010, we had brief moments where we reached equilibrium. And then this year, the prices have gone up for milk, but the feed prices have gone up faster. Corn has become in short supply worldwide, and then the demand of corn for ethanol production has really spiked the corn prices. So I've been in the dairy business for 50 years as a producer and then in the job that I hold now. And quite honestly, I've never seen it this bad. We've had our ups and downs, but there's always been light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel right now. So it's critical out there.
Paul, can I ask you, for one, thank you for Western United Dairymen for your efforts, your ongoing presence, and your advocacy for this. I believe Mr. Holt is works on behalf of Farm Bureau to do the testing, and our staff alluded to that, but is that Western United Dairymen too?
Western United Dairymen participates in the Farm Bureau's Animal Resource Management Committee, but it's that committee and that Earl Holtz goes out and tests. He tests the water courses, 36 different points throughout Marin and Sonoma counties. He goes out after the rainfall when you would expect to see violations. And so we keep a pretty close eye on what's going on out in the countryside. He does temperature, pH, electrical conductivity, ammonia, dissolved oxygen, and he maintains the database.
And Paul, I also am aware of the fact of the issue of confidentiality as far as these guys go and that data, but I would like to request maybe at the spring workshop, it sounds like we're going to have another one of these, to the extent that we can know a little bit more about what that data is, maybe how it goes about, what is that tool. Not, you don't have to show all your data if you've got confidentiality agreements with these producers, then maybe that's the way it is. But to the extent that, how is that tool being used to inform myself and maybe this board and our staff maybe about how that is used as, you know, a problem-solving tool in the field, a real-time thing? Because I ran into Mr. Holt at a Farm Bureau function recently and introduced myself to him. He's a very interesting man. That guy gets out there, and his wife was saying, you know, that's what keeps him going, and boy, can't stop him, and he gets out there every storm, and he's really a neat guy, and he's been doing it for a long time. And again, you guys have a legacy here of doing this stuff. You know, this, we wouldn't be here today and doing this. We couldn't do this ourselves, I don't think. It would be very difficult. And I'm sure I left, you know, agencies and individuals and organizations out and you know, shouting out to say thank you. But, you know, I would like to see, to the extent that we could, some type of information on those types of things going on out there. You've talked to us about the Dairy Quality Assurance Program prior, but specific to Sonoma County and our dairy belt here in the southern, and I don't know if there's a Mr. Holt up north, but to the extent that you could, I would request, or that you're willing to talk about that in the future, maybe at our future workshop, and let us know what that is.
Sure. We'll pass that on to the Farm Bureau folks.
Okay.
We do report to your staff at the monthly meetings. We, as you might imagine, give composite information. We
right.
don't give individual information, or else we wouldn't be able to be on those farms.
Right, and maybe that composite is fine. I'm not asking for all the specifics, but maybe an overview of what that looks like and what is your procedures. If you do find a problem, and maybe you do a couple case studies, I don't know how you present that, but it could be very quite interesting, I think, and informing about what's going on out there.
Sure. And as far as the northern part of the region, we are working right now to establish a similar group up there and hope to get that operational soon so that it can be a regular function up there as well.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a couple of questions. One, we are, as it were, Johnny come lately in terms of putting together regulatory stuff within the North Coast. Of the California dairy industry, how much do we represent?
Well, you have 150 dairies here. Those dairies will average about 350 cows. You've got 1,400 dairies in the San Joaquin Valley. that will average about 1,000 cows. So we are fairly small compared to the rest of the state, but we're also very good at what we do.
And in terms of the viability of the entire industry, I have heard estimates of the overages in terms of cattle. Are you seeing as an industry, is it that the problem you have is a lack of growth of demand or acceleration of costs? Obviously, probably both. But what? Why is there a problem? I guess that's the.
In this particular situation is different than any of the dips that we have experienced previously. Normally, it's a growth in supply has caused the drop in prices. But this time, it was a collapse of the world economy and the loss of demand. There's a lake of milk in Europe, and the only thing that basically kept us going was the drought in Australia and New Zealand. Now, the drought is gone, and, of course, Australia is experiencing flooding, which is...
It's not that problem.
They don't want no more milk.
So, you know... it's unfortunate, but lots of times in agriculture, you make profit on your neighbor's stress, and that's kind of what it is on the worldwide market. But when the depression or recession, whatever you want to term it, came in, it was a collapse in demand, significant reduction in people eating out, and that's a lot of our production is in the institutional use of milk.
Thank you.
I distinctly remember my first thorough tour of a deli or of a dairy. I was approximately, 6 weeks pregnant. And for those of you that stomped around dairies, that's not a good mixture. But I would like to say, in regards to the folks that I've had the opportunity to work with in my time with the NRCS in Humboldt County, the dairy folks are can-do people, and they've been doing this for quite some time. And I'm encouraged that our staff has come alongside of the folks that are already doing some pretty good work. I know that our office in Eureka, NRCS, takes the dairy business pretty serious, and there's a lot of rubber boots in our hallway. And so I just look forward to the collaborative efforts of everyone and just kind of encourage you guys to spend some time with the folks. And it looks like you already have. And there's a lot to be learned out there from those people. They've been doing it for a long time. I'm a Leonardo, if anybody knows the folks in Ferndale. So I come from a long line of dairy people.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Jovita, welcome.
This one. Good morning and greetings of the new year. My name is Jovita Pajarillo. I am an associate director for the water division at EPA in San Francisco. But also, unofficially, I'm known as the Dairy Queen at Region 9. EPA also wants to add its voice to the choir for commending your staff for a solid start in beginning in developing this dairy regulatory program for the North Coast. By being proactive, they involved the stakeholders, the agencies, and other partners early on in the process, and I think that really built credibility and a sense of inclusiveness and a transparent process. And I think the stakeholder strategy that was presented to you is very comprehensive and diverse and as inclusive as possible of everyone that we could think of that would have a stake in this program. Staff should be commended for doing their homework. They've done their inquiries. They've reached out to the agencies. You've heard about all of the communications they've had and being out in the field and stomping around on dairies and getting their boots wet. They've looked at where they can get assistance from the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, which EPA is a partner for many years, and I'm glad to see many familiar and friendly faces in the audience of folks I've partnered with over the years. And I think their approach is reasonable and respectful of the dairy industry, especially given the sensitivity to the hard economic times some of our dairy producers find themselves in. And they are actively seeking their cooperation. And I also think by assuring that it's an open process and sharing information, having the website provides that kind of openness and transparency to where the what progress they are making in preparing this program. But more importantly, I think they understand that dairies are an important part of the culture and the community and the landscape here in the North Coast, and that they are part of the solution as well. So for EPA, CAFO's concentrated animal feeding operations continue to be a high national priority. We had our rule adopted back in 2008. It hasn't been without its challenges. We've had settlements, and so we still continue with a razor-sharp focus on CAFOs nationally. We have offered this technical support through Tetra Tech to provide assistance to your board, your staff, looking at updating your existing dairy inventory, looking at how we can do these assessments that was discussed, because we think that if we could look at some of the waste management practices that are there and what we can do to improve some of those practices to protect water quality. So in short, I just want to say thank you to the regional board and the staff for inviting EPA to be part of this process. It's always fun, and I'm glad to come out and provide any assistance and support that I can. And I think it's important for all of us to be working together on these water quality goals that we share. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. Deanne Meyer.
Good morning, members of the board, and yay to the staff. Jovita did such a candid job. I'm not going to repeat everything she said, certainly. My name is Deanne Meyer. I am the Livestock Waste Management Specialist at the University of California. I wear multiple hats in the course of my day, both as a research scientist with the university and also my love, which is a cooperative extension specialist to educate folks. The other hat I wear on a regular basis is the Environmental Stewardship Module Coordinator for the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program. And over the last 13 years now, we have officially delivered a six-hour short course throughout the state from San Diego all the way up to Crescent City. We've had the opportunity to work with our local cooperative extension staff and our partners in the Quality Assurance Program to deliver courses at the local level. So here in Sonoma County, we've used the 4-H Center and the Two Rock Fire Hall. And up in Humboldt and Del Norte County, we've used the county offices in Eureka, as well as the fairgrounds in Crescent City. It's a cold day some days when you get up there. But one of the things we've really worked on over the years, working with the staff at the local regulatory agency and certainly through this process as we go through the permit development process, working with Sherry and working with Lisa, is understanding the base requirements so that we can tailor the educational process. So when it's time for producers to sign up and select which of these three categories they think they belong in, they're not going to do it with a I don't want to have to do anything kind of attitude. They're going to do it with a very educated attitude, with very base information and understanding of what your regulatory requirements are so that they can select the appropriate box. What we'll do is retool our educational program as always, and we clearly focus at least a half hour of our six-hour course in doing risk assessments that are appropriate for the individual location, and quite clearly that changes if one has a dairy in El Centro or one has a dairy up in Humboldt County. So we'll continue to work with staff as we have, and we're always happy to answer their questions so they don't end up, either staff or Tetra Tech don't end up looking at something that's been adopted already in one of our other regional boards and assume that it's appropriate for the North Coast. Our topography, our geography, the methods in which dairies are managed up here make them very, very different, similar to Region 2, but clearly very different than the other eight regions within California. And even within Region 1, we have quite a few differences from Humboldt down to Two Rock. So that's real critical, and, you know, I'll commit Jovita's sitting here, Mr. Martin's sitting behind me. We've got some of the partners represented in this room with the Dairy Quality Assurance Program. I know that NRCS, Luana Kiger, attends our partner meetings and is always happy to participate and commit services as well. So it's real important. You've acknowledged already this is a can-do industry. You've acknowledged these people are very interested. They want to understand the water quality concerns. The ranch management courses that have been done over the last 20 years that Stephanie Larson has been key in promoting down at this end of the state, this end of the region, have been real instrumental in teaching people what their objectives are. And we can't just say, here's a rule, go follow it. We don't want them to write something and leave it on a shelf. We want not to feed a person for a day. We want to teach them how to fish, the old Chinese proverb, to teach them to feed them for a lifetime. So we're committed both within UC Cooperative Extension, where we do have local resources. I'll work with our county director up in Humboldt County to be sure, even though we don't have a dairy program person up there, that when it's time for us to do outreach, we'll work with the local NRCS office, with the Farm Bureau up there, and with the local cooperative extension to pull what partners we do have with our dwindling resources together to be sure we have the educational outreach opportunities. Because it's important that we not just say, here's a rule, go do it, but that we teach people what the objectives are, and as folks have said previously, that they're able to integrate that. Because if they understand what the water quality objectives are, they're smarter than all of us put together to figure out how to achieve them. When you have 150 dairies on the landscape of Sonoma and Humboldt counties, there is no one thing that will fit everybody, that will actually achieve a water quality objective. So we have to work with individuals. We have to work with individual facilities. We teach them in a classroom setting because it's the most efficient method for us to get the basics out that everybody needs to go through. After that, it's the one-on-one, whether it's through the NRCS staff and working with them, or whether it's with their trade association, with their creamery staff as well. So we anticipate we'll see great participation from the entire stakeholders who've been involved, and very possibly tag a few new ones on who maybe haven't played in the sandbox previously. So great. Thank you very much.
Just one comment. I want to make sure University of California, Davis gets its due. I was recently at a UC a committee of scientists that had come up with a regulatory and explained their public participation process to near riotous conditions. And they were very hurt and they didn't know what to do. And someone in the crowd blurted out, finally, well, why don't you do it like the University of California, Davis? And so.
That could be good news or bad news. I was kind of worried you were going to say something about, you know, executives with pay. And I just thought, oh, no. I have no faith in people who want to go down that path. But thank you. No, there is a scientific advisory panel that just convened for the first time yesterday afternoon. I was not able to attend our first meeting, but I will be serving on that to look at some of the conflicting and challenges we have with policy for agriculture in the state of California. And certainly both my interactions between air districts and local regulatory agencies and water quality control boards, I think I have a pretty good handle at least how we get conflicts in the livestock little segment of California agriculture. So thank you. And thank you very much. Your staff, if somebody says the water board's on the phone, I'm always praying it's Board 1 staff. They are fantastic. They are worth their weight in gold. You should be so proud of them, and they should be so proud of themselves as well. They are a pleasure to work with. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mark, you're smiling.
Yeah.
No, truly, that was great, and we certainly appreciate everybody coming and talking about this, and we're really encouraged and look forward to hearing back in spring and summer and as this thing moves forward. So it's, you know, hopefully can serve as a template. The development process can serve as a template for some of our other programs as well. So we're encouraged by that.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
I can't help but add one accolade here, not only to our staff, which is just outstanding, and it's wonderful to hear it, but for Board Member Noren, who really drove the process of bringing dairies to our attention, which is something that it had languished for many, many years. And Mr. Noren asked a question and then jumped in with both feet. And I thank you very much, David, because the rest of us are, perhaps not Heidi, but the rest of us are learning a lot of things about dairies that we didn't know. And so thank you very much, Mr. Noren.
I just wanted to say it's actually all my brother's fault, because my oldest brother used to work with Paul. And one of my first board meetings, Paul came up to me, and I didn't know Paul. And he said, "Do you know Doug Noren?" And I said, "Yeah, he's my oldest brother." And he said, "Well, I'm Paul Martin. I'm from West United Dairymen." And we started a conversation. So it's all my brother's fault in a lot of ways. I still have my boots. I grew up in this community, too. I was a 4-H'er. We had 50 cows. I wasn't a dairy guy. I was more a beef cow guy. But I do appreciate this industry. I appreciate everybody standing together, our staff, agencies, UC Extension. We all give ourselves, I think, credibility by doing so. So to that extent, again, I think we've said thank you enough times up here, but good job, guys.
Okay. Thank you all. Looks like we're moving along. 10:30.